awesome, you are powerful, you are sovereign. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are our protector, our provider, the blessed controller of all things, our refuge, our hiding place. Father, thank you for the life that we have in you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for bringing us into relationship with you. Thank you for the joy and the peace that are ours because of you, because of Jesus and what he has done. Lord, we worship you. We thank you. We thank you for another Wednesday where we can be in this room together, worshiping you, hearing from you. Lord, have your way, have your will in our lives. May you be pleased, may you be blessed tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Good evening to all of you. We have a couple of announcements. Saturday the 19th, grab a little flyer. If you haven't already, we have an event in this sanctuary. And Kim Kyle is coming to share her testimony, all that God has done in her life from salvation all the way to present. And she'll be sharing from the Word and encouraging all of us in what he has done and what he can do for us. It's a powerful testimony. You don't want to miss it. You really don't. So pray about coming and invite a friend, somebody who doesn't know the Lord. Great opportunity to hear from somebody else and know that that person, he can do the same thing in my life. We have only a few lunch tickets left, so if you want to come and have lunch, grab your ticket after. Otherwise, just come, bring your own lunch, or come and run over to O'Brien's or wherever and grab lunch and come back. Also, we have some events, fun events coming up. One of them was announced Sunday on February 26th, so in a couple of weeks. It's a Saturday, just from 10 to 1. It's a craft morning, kind of like the old quilting bees, quilting circles, where all the women would bring their quilts and sit in fellowship and make a quilt. Well, this is to come and have fellowship together doing your craft. If you don't craft, you don't have a project to work on, you can go just to fellowship, or you can go and for a small dollar amount purchase a little craft to do and learn how to do something new. Grab a flyer on the table and then sign up online for that. And with that, the following month in March, we're going to start offering some activities for all of us throughout the summer, and hopefully it will just continue on, where they are, one of them is physical activity things, like we'll have a once a month hike or walk or something like that. Also, there will be a few classes, sketching, painting. I can't think of anything right now, but there's all kinds of things like that that you can learn how to do. And it, again, it's this fellowship time. It's just nice when you, I'm finding, I think the older I get, I want to be busier with my hands. And so I've actually started doing a couple of little projects, which crack me up for me, because I've never been a craft person at all. And I'm starting with things that take absolutely no talent or skill whatsoever. But you feel like you're really creating something when it comes out, you know? So anyway, be on the lookout for that and take part in that. So here we are. We'll be in Acts chapter 4 tonight. But last summer, as I do each summer, before that, but I'm praying about, okay, Lord, what would you have for the women? What do you want us to study this coming fall? And so here we are, learning from the women of the Bible. And so as I was praying, which one, because there's lots of women you can learn from, but which ones would you like us to learn from? Sapphira, she's found in Acts chapter 4, was on the list, so I jotted that down. And then further praying with some of the women who have been teaching when I'm not here, who should be teaching what and that kind of a thing. And so as I was praying about that, and they were kind of letting me know, well, who they would like to teach on and everything, nobody volunteered to teach on Sapphira. So I thought, okay, well, then that means I get to do that. And so I put myself on the schedule to teach on Sapphira. And then a few weeks ago, as I was kind of looking ahead, and it's like, okay, what am I going to be doing? And preparing for that, there she was. And I thought, immediately, I thought, I don't want to teach on Sapphira. If you know her, you know the lessons of her life. They're good lessons, but they're basically on what not to do, lying, and a hypocrisy. And I thought, yeah, who wants to teach on that? Not me. No wonder they didn't volunteer. So I thought, well, I just won't. I'll just teach on something else. Lord, who would you have me teach on? And he made it very clear that he would like me to speak on Sapphira. So thought, well, okay, that's fine, but you know, we all know that lying is not good, and we all know that being a hypocrite isn't good. So we already know this. But he said, that doesn't matter. You teach it anyway. And I was talking to Damien about this, and I said, okay, well, I'm going to go tell him not to lie and not to be a hypocrite. He said, we all need to be reminded of that, all of us, and we do. Any Bible teacher knows that as they study and as they prepare to teach whatever passage in the Bible, that they learn far more than they can possibly give out. And it also, the Lord ministers to the person preparing, because this person, whoever it might be, needs to, have a clear conscience and speak from the truth, and not have that sin or whatever it might be in their own life. So tonight, as I teach on Sapphira, it's not because it's pointed at, anybody in particular, or that there is any kind of a problem, but the Lord wants us to hear this message, and he wants us to, all of us, apply it to our lives. So with the lessons of not lying and not being a hypocrite, the flip side is to be honest and to be authentic. And so, right from the start, here we go. That's what we want to do. I was honest with you, saying I don't want to teach on her, not because I'm a big liar, but I've never considered myself a liar. I'm pretty honest up front. What you see is what you get, and what comes out of my mouth is usually a little blunt. So, but that doesn't mean I've not lied. And we'll see what that means tonight. So Acts, we're going to start in chapter 4, verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they all had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each one as anyone had need. And Joses, or who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young man arose, wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now, it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all those who heard these things. So the church was new. It was just had been birthed. There was excitement by God's people, new believers, just full of the love of the Lord. They were just so excited to be saved, to be a Christian, and they wanted to give the Lord their all. They saw people in need, and so it was just a move of the Spirit on their hearts that they just voluntarily would sell their house, their land, whatever they had, give the money to the apostles, and they would just distribute it. So it was, you know, it's kind of like a commune, I guess. They all had all things in common. And there was peace within that. Now, immediately, the enemy, he doesn't like that. He doesn't like peace at all. And so he came in and tried to corrupt the beauty of this work of the Spirit. Ananias and his wife Sapphira, they sold a possession, a piece of property, and Ananias, you know, as a leader of the family, said, okay, we are going to sell it for, I'm just going to use a number, let's say just $10,000, but we'll only give the apostles $6,000, we'll keep $4,000 for us, but we'll just say we're giving it all because look at what everybody else is doing, and we need to look as good as they do, if not better. So, Sapphira agreed and went along with it. Now, this is the only time that's not a good thing. You know, wives are to submit to their husbands unless it goes against the word of God. Lying, deception, would be against the word of God, but she went right along with it. God gave Peter discernment. This is just a word of knowledge and discernment that he could not have known, and just told him, this guy's lying to you. And Peter called him out on it to expose the lie, to expose the hypocrisy. And then after he dropped dead, can you imagine? I mean, they bury him quick. They really do. But can you imagine? She just comes in. She doesn't even know her husband's dead. They just went and buried him, and she comes in and, you know, and he flat out asked her, did you sell it for $6,000? Yeah, we sold it for $6,000. And, you know, it's like, how can you just outright lie? But she did. And then she is dead. Ananias and Sapphira had only a few seconds to think about their sin before God had judged that. I mean, what that is just like, whoa, so quickly. The Lord judged their sin in front of everyone so that no one would have to guess what he thought about lying and hypocrisy. The Lord was not going to allow his beautiful church to begin with sin in the camp. He wanted holiness and purity. Had he not judged so severely and drastically, this couple may have become very influential within the church. And you can carry that out and know what would happen afterward. Someone said that either Ananias and Sapphira or the Spirit must go. Such was the white-hot purity of that early Christian fellowship. A lie of that kind could not live within the church. And so, verse 11, great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard those things. I would say so. I mean, Peter himself, his jaw had to have dropped. So the church, it was like jolted back to purity and holiness immediately. Like, whoa. This is serious. This is what God thinks. Now, can you imagine if God judged like that today within his church? How big would the church really be? And I'm talking worldwide. How many preachers would remain on TV or have a podcast or be on the radio or in a pulpit if God judged hypocrisy and sin? It is so common today. It is so common that it has become acceptable in the world, yes. When you hear politicians or other prominent people in the world, and you know they're lying, they are just bold-faced lying. And it's like, you're like, nobody's calling him out on this. What can't you people see? Can't you, you know? It's just, people have a way of justifying what they are saying, what they are doing, that they believe it themselves. It's scary. It's awful. It's ugly. Now, there are all different kinds of lies and different reasons why people lie and they justify lying. One is to be polite. They don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, so they lie. They want to avoid an awkward situation or an embarrassment, so they allow the lie to go on, or they themselves continue to lie. Or to protect a loved one, they lie to cover something over. Or self-protection. To avoid trouble, penalty, or punishment. Of course, there's lying in the courts all the time, claiming innocence when they are not. But in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, this lying was to make themselves look better than they really were, to make themselves look more spiritual than they really were. I don't know if any of you have known a liar or not. Unfortunately, I have, do. And they're not fun people to be around. And there are those who lie that they really are so used to lying that it's just, I mean, it's just like they don't even know how to tell the truth. If it's purple, it's not going to be purple, even though who cares? It's purple. I mean, you know, but they're going to say it's a different color just because they're so used to lying. So I like looking up quotes, so I just typed in lying, and I've got a few quotes for you. There's plenty of them, but these are the ones I chose. Telling the truth and making someone cry is better than telling a lie and making someone smile. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but telling the truth is always better than a lie. Half a truth is a whole lie. If the words don't add up, it's usually because the truth wasn't included in the equation. Deception may give us what we want for the present, but it will always take it away in the end. Ananias and Sapphira had a moment of thinking they were doing something wonderful and appearing to be more spiritual than they were, but it certainly was taken away very quickly. Some liars are so expert, they deceive themselves. That's sad, and it's also very scary. The essence of lying is in deception, not in words. I like that one, and that one really applies to Sapphira. The essence of lying is in deception, not in words. Lying hurts people. And it is one of the things that God says he hates. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren, from Proverbs 6. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, which is, he came in and judged that immediately. And as a Christian, as a child of God, we are told in Ephesians chapter 4 that we are no longer to live the way we once did. Maybe some of us in this room were big liars before we came to know the Lord. Maybe it was just a way of, maybe you grew up in a home where the lies were just like, oh no, say that you're underage so we can get the discount. You know, those kind of things that you just grow up and you just, you don't even think that it's a lie because your parents have, you know, have led you to do those kind of things. Put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We are always to speak the truth. Now, I don't think any of us, I mean, even though I don't even know you, you're here, you want a Bible study, I don't think we would consider ourselves to be a liar. Yet at the same time, I think we need to ask ourselves, ask the Lord, show us. Have I lied? You know, am I saying half-truth, which is a whole lie, or these exaggerations, which make it sound worse, better, whatever, make myself sound better, am I doing that in my life? Ask the Lord to help you when you're in an awkward situation to speak the truth in love. Ask him to give you the courage and strength to speak the truth in love, even if it might hurt someone's feelings. feelings. And, you know, some of us might think, well, boy, that's really going too far. I mean, what is the big deal? A lie is a lie. There's no, you know, the world has twisted every meaning, everything, to make things okay. But a lie is a lie, and God hates lying. We are not to lie. Psalm 119:29, remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. Psalm 30, verse 8, remove falsehood and lying from me. Proverbs 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind mercy and truth around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. So find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. You know, all through the Psalms and the Proverbs, there's these verses on lying, deceit, and the psalmist crying out to help me, Lord, with that, which tells us this is a problem that our sin nature has. Now, the primary lesson, I mean, it is lying, but it's the hypocrisy. It's the why the lie? Okay, you lied, you said you sold the land for this much, and you really didn't. But why did you do that? Because I wanted to appear, Sapphira and Ananias, I want to appear more spiritual than I really am. The word hypocrisy means the practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's behavior does not conform. So that's a hypocrite. When I'm saying this, but I'm living down here, because I want people to think of me as spiritually mature, and yet within my heart, I'm not. I'm a pretender. I'm an actor. I'm a hypocrite. I want others to believe that I am far better than myself, than I really am. Do we want others to think of us spiritually? Sure, we all want others to look at us and see a godly example. Of course, every Christian wants to be thought. You know, everybody likes to be liked. They want people to think of them as good moral Christians, not the outsiders, but Christians want other Christians to think they're good, they're moral, they live uprightly, they're kind, they're generous, they're gracious, they're forgiving, all of those things. We want people to think those things of us, but are they true? Or are we putting on some kind of an air about us that is far more spiritual than we really are? Hypocrisy comes from pride. Everything goes back to pride. And pride is a killer, as we saw with Ananias and Sapphira. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Warren Wiersbe said, pride opens up the door to every other sin. For once we are more concerned with our reputation than our character, there is no end to the things we will do just to make ourselves look good before others. And that's the truth, and it's really sad. It's also disgusting. Now, the Apostle Paul, he called the Apostle Peter out on being a hypocrite. So don't think this is just, oh, well, we're just talking about, you know, the commoners in Christianity. We're not talking about, you know, the leaders or me, because I'm on a different level. No, look at Peter. You'd think Peter, is this Apostle Peter? And Paul calls him out on his hypocrisy. Flip to the right in Galatians chapter 2, if you want, or I'll just read it. Paul is saying, in verse 11, but when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision, the Jewish Christians. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of the Gentiles and not as the Jews, then why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? So here Paul is in the situation. Peter is there. He's eating with the Gentiles, fellowshipping with them, and then the Jewish Christians who have not let go of the law and are not walking in grace, they came in, and he doesn't want them to think he's not as spiritual as them, so he removes himself. I mean, can you imagine? He just removes himself, and then he's going to go over here. That's a hypocrite. And then the others followed him. Now, Paul is pretty bold. To look at that situation and say, whoa, wait a minute, this is not right. This is not right. What are you doing? What are you doing to these Gentiles? You are being a hypocrite. To care more about what man thinks rather than what God thinks. That's a pretty deep pit that you're digging for yourself. Over the years, you meet a lot of different kinds of Christians, and over the years, I have observed a few people who have spoken great words of faith. It's like you would look at these some of these people and think, "Oh, wow, they just." Boy, they should have raised my kids, or they should teach on this or that or whatever, because they are so spiritual and they just come across as, because they have great words, and then yet I've observed the same people at times when they are in a very deep trial. It's like, what happened to all those words you were speaking? It's like the light went on. They are not the way they portrayed themselves. And that was an eye-opener for me, because their behavior at the time of a deep trial spoke much louder than these words that I had heard over the years. I thought they were more spiritual than they really were, and it's a little stumbling at times. Because you just think, wow, really? And then there have been times quite the opposite, where you don't even know about a person, and yet they're in a deep trial, and you go, wow, they're mature, they have great faith, that's what I want to see and follow. But our hearts can deceive us. Sometimes our own eyes are opened when we face a deep trial, and we don't have the faith that we thought we had. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. It happened to me years and years ago. I had the words. I thought, I really thought, I believed what I said about myself or thought about myself. And then this trial hit. My first really big trial, which is like nothing compared to after that, but I failed, completely failed. And I thought, what a hypocrite. I am shocked at my behavior. I am shocked at my thinking I was more spiritual than I was. And the Lord says, I'm not shocked. I could see right through it. I know. But this revealed it and helped me grow. So there's a lot of times where we can be surprised with ourselves. We need to cry out like the psalmist did in 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He will. He is always faithful to show us. In the NLT, I like it said, search me, O God, know my heart, test me, know my anxious thoughts, point out anything in me that offends you. I like that. Lord, show me. Show me where I'm wrong. Show me where I'm thinking to be one thing or trying to be one thing and I'm not, and that offends you. It's not right. So how are we to live? We know we're not to lie. We know we're not to be deceiving anyone or being a hypocrite. So how can I not be a liar? How can I not be a hypocrite or deceive people when I'm not perfect and everyone else thinks I am? How am I going to do this? Well, I have news. Nobody thinks you're perfect. The only people that think people are perfect is the person who's deceived themselves. Everybody else already knows. You're not perfect. You're not perfect. We are not perfect. Not one of us is perfect. Any of us can get caught up in what Peter got caught up in. And, excusing ourselves and then following. You know, I mean, any one of us can tell a little half-truth or exaggerate. I always figure if you make the exaggeration so obvious, it's really a joke. Like, you know, when you say a million years ago, now we know we haven't been alive that long. You know what I'm saying? But there are those exaggerations that always make us sound a little better or worse or the situation or whatever. But we're not perfect. Each of us is a work in progress. We are to be like Jesus. And in context of this topic, it's we are to be truthful and we are to walk humbly with our God. I looked up the word truthful. It means to be honest, free of deceit, sincere, trustworthy, marked by or displaying integrity, genuine, real, meaning what one says, candid, frank, open, forthright. That's truthful. Is that describing our character? We are to speak the truth in love. And if you are like me, I'm tend to be pretty concrete and say it like it is. I had to learn how to do that nicely. Because I remember being in school and just thinking, how can these people lie? How can you just lie, you know? I just didn't get that. And I do remember it was years ago, not a million, but years ago in 10th and F. And this lady came up to me and she said, I know that you will tell me the truth. And I thought, oh, no. She said, now, do you like my new haircut? Don't ask me that, because I said no. Makes you look older. Sorry. She said, good, I'm glad. I knew you would tell me the truth. I'm like, I'm glad you're not crying right now. But so I've had to learn how to, I don't do it very well. She said, don't ask me unless you really want to know. But my sister and I, we grew up that way. No, that do not wear that. I mean, I'll see her. I haven't seen her in, 2 months or whatever. And she'll walk in. She'll say, why are you wearing that? Do not wear that. Okay, fine. I won't wear that. You know, I mean, that's how we've talked to each other. So that's kind of what I grew up in. And then I get around very sensitive people. It's really hard. Now, my mom, she calls them love lies. Like, Mom, it's a lie. There's no, oh, you look wonderful, honey. You look just beautiful. And, you walk out and you've got the blue eyeshadow up to here and you've got, it's a love lie. No, I mean, I know what you're trying to say, but there's no love lies. And no half-truths, because a half-truth is what? A whole lie. Now, I had to really talk with the Lord about this because my mom has dementia, and you cannot have a conversation like you can with somebody without dementia. And so how do I don't want to lie. I don't want to lie to her, but I cannot tell her the truth in certain things. So it's really a balance. And sometimes it's like talking to a child where you wouldn't tell the child the whole truth kind of a thing. You tell them only what they need to know, and then you redirect them on until they're old enough to mature enough to understand the whole truth. And that's not going to happen with a person with dementia because they keep going backwards. But it's been a little battle with that. And because I feel like I'm lying, but I keep saying, I'm not. I just can't. This is for her protection. Anyway, that's a whole different thing. The word humble, it means not proud or haughty, having or showing a modest or low estimate of one's own importance. That's being humble. It is really knowing who you are and just walking in who you are. Ananias and Sapphira, they thought better of themselves. They didn't want to admit we are like dirty, rotten crooks here. You know, we're trying to pretend we're something we're not. They were not humble. It is so freeing to walk in humility and to be honest, to be truthful. It is freeing to say to somebody when asked a spiritual question that maybe you should know the answer to, it's so freeing to say, I don't know. I just don't know. Instead of giving an answer that sounds spiritual but isn't even the correct answer, it is freeing to say, I'm really going through a hard time. I'm angry, I'm depressed, I'm envious. Instead of pretending, no, I'm fine, it's fine. Oh, your husband just lost their job, you're losing your home, this person in your loved one has cancer and this and this and this and this. Oh, God's got it all under control, I'm perfectly fine. And yet inside, I'm falling apart. And yet we think those are the answers that we need to give. We think, because we want to have the faith, and we want everyone else to think that we have the faith and we're trusting in the Lord, instead of just being honest. It's freeing to think, to not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. It is freeing to be clothed with humility, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Years ago, at one of our retreats, I had a woman come and confess to me that she was a chameleon, that was her word, or a hypocrite. She had thought that everyone had thought of her as one way, so she had to live up to that. And the more spiritual that others thought she was, she felt like, okay, I can't let them down, so now I have to pretend. And for whatever reason, that particular night, the conviction upon her was very great, and so she talked with me and confessed. And as she was, I was shocked, because I had thought of her very differently. But as she talked and we talked, I had more respect for her that moment in time, because she was confessing. What a freeing thing. And I told her, this is the best thing that's ever happened to you. You can now stand open, and you can be who you are in Christ. And people have grace for that. But unfortunately, I've never saw her again after that, so I don't know what happened. And that's a horrible way to live, whether it's on the scale that she lived on or a smaller scale. Maybe others praised her too much, and rather than humbling herself before the Lord and saying, Lord, you need to help me, you start believing what they're saying. And then the hypocrisy comes in. But it's a sad way to live, and the Lord doesn't want us to live that way. He wants us to be transparent and open. So let's ask the Lord to search our hearts tonight, and then confess, repent, if we need to repent of any kind of lying, any love lives, any half-truths, whatever it might be, or any hypocrisy, or confess to him, yeah, Lord, I want people to think I'm super spiritual, but I'm not super spiritual. And if you want to be super spiritual, then confess that, humble yourself before the Lord, and then start growing in him. And he will bring the growth into your lives in his ways to bring you to that place of spiritual maturity. Let's live honestly, and let's be who we really are. Be ourselves, where we are with the Lord today in our spiritual growth. Not yet perfected, none of us are. But if we're struggling, we confess that, and then the Lord helps us. Hebrews 4:13 says, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. He already knows. He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows our character. He knows. We're not fooling anyone but ourselves. No one will think less of us when we're honest. But when we pretend and they discover we've been pretending, that's when they think, oh dear, oh dear. But when we are walking in transparency, honesty, in humility, that is encouraging to the rest of us when we see that in a life. God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows our hearts better than we know them, because our hearts are deceitful. He knows the difference between hypocrisy and when we're just really trying and we fail. He knows that. Now, typically when you talk about any kind of thing that could possibly be convicting, the sensitive person who might have, oops, told a lie today, or oops, had a little hypocrisy, or are now at the point where they're condemning themselves. I'm a liar and a hypocrite. Oh no. And that's a good thing to confess. But if it's the person that's the liar and the hypocrite's just sitting there thinking they're fine, that's where we need to get concerned. So it's not a beating yourself up message here at the end. If we are honestly trying and we trip and fall and something slips out of our mouth, or we've came across one way and it really wasn't the right way and we realize that and everything, or we came in and we're lifting our hands in worship when inside we're, you know, grumbling and everything, or we don't want to, but we're doing it anyway. You know, God knows the difference between a hypocrite and somebody who's just struggling. So if you are just struggling, do not beat yourself up. Okay, he knows. So it's not meant to bring condemnation. Conviction if it's needed, but not condemnation. It's to encourage us to be sincere, to be authentic, to be transparent, to be honest before the Lord and before others. That if we take care of our character, he's going to take care of our reputation. And we shouldn't really be too concerned about what other people are thinking of us or who we are. The warning in this is to the Sapphira that might live within us, that we don't want to do this deceitful thing on purpose, but just to walk humbly with our God, be who we are. We are not yet completed and perfected, are we? No, we're not. But God help us. God help us. And Lord, will you help us? Will you search our hearts and show us? Show me, show my sisters who are before me, Lord, to anything in our lives.